Hello, friends. Buy a boat and learn to sail. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books, too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Welcome to Blame It on Buffett this week. I have some awesome guests. We'll get to that in a moment. I just want to say thanks again so much for being here. If you're listening to this on Tiki Man Radio, thanks for checking it out. You can always listen to older episodes. If you're new to the podcast because of listening to it on Tiki Man Radio, you can always listen to older episodes and, you know, go back and see what other guests I've had in the past. It's available on all of the podcasting platforms, basically Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, which is my host platform, Stitcher, really whatever one you use, just search for Blame It on Buffett and it should be there. I have a number of episodes banked at this point. So yeah, you might find something that you're into. And just thanks so much for listening. And for those of you who have been around for a while listening to this podcast, I really appreciate you. And our guests this week are actually some of those people. So my guests this week are Tim and Angela Meredith, and they are longtime, I mean, as long time as you can be when the podcast's only been around for a year, but relative to this podcast, they are longtime supporters. I just, when I found out that they own a sailboat and are just living a Jimmy Buffett lifestyle, you know, going on sailing on their boat and things, and parking their boat next to Margaritaville. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. So I just was like, hey, you guys want to come on the podcast and chat about all your adventures? And they were very lovely and agreed to be on. So I hope you will enjoy this episode. Before we get to the interview, I just want to mention really quick, I have mentioned this before if you have listened to the last couple weeks, but there is a new thing starting that you can join up. It's called the Back to the Island Society. It's being headed up by Dan Smith from Classic Buffett, and it's just going to be a cool club. It's a not-for-profit. It's just for people that really want to talk about Jimmy Buffett, support Jimmy Buffett's charities, support just generally Jimmy Buffett's things, really talk about vintage Buffett. You know, it has sprung out of the group that is the following for Classic Buffett, which is really, people are just excited about sharing all of their Jimmy Buffett memories and talking about sort of the Classic Buffett years and appreciating his music. So if you want to join that, you can go to backtotheislandsociety.org and sign up, put your email address in there. And then when the website goes live, you'll get an email. It's, I think, going to be pretty fun. And it's just an online thing, no local chapters. So, you know, you could totally be in the Parrothead Club and in this club. It's just something a little bit different. Or if you aren't in the Parrot Club, if you don't have a local chapter near you or whatever, this is also something you can join up. So I hope you'll check it out when it goes live just to see if it's something you might be interested in. Really for us, it's just another way to bring people together, talk about Jimmy Buffett, and then also, you know, to give back, raise money for charity and that, which is always an important part of being a Buffett fan. So once again, Back to the Island Society. I'm sorry, the website is backtotheisland.org. So go there. It's not, the whole website isn't live yet, but you can put your email in to be notified when it does go live. And that will hopefully be fairly soon. We're finishing getting everything worked out for just like how it's going to run and you know, merch and all of the things, all of the exciting things. I can hint that there are some pretty awesome shirts that are going to be available. So I know I'm going to be buying them. So yeah, anyway, that's just the thing that you can check out if you want. Let's just get to the interview because it was really fun. I love having different guests on, different types of guests. And, you know, Tim and Angela are Jimmy Buffett fans. They, you know, are leading a life where they like go and sail on their boat, which is exciting, but also like they are friends of the podcast, supporters of the podcast. So it was really cool to get to talk more in depth with, you know, people that I've communicated with some, but just to hear from them, like, you know, who they are, what they got going on, and get like a little more in-depth look at some people who I know because they support the podcast. So, yeah, I hope you will enjoy it. And here's the interview with Tim and Angela. All right. Welcome to this week's interview for Blame It on Buffett. I'm excited to be here with my guests this week, who are Tim and Angela Meredith, who they're fans of the podcast, but also they have a boat and sail around and have fun adventures. So I just wanted to get them on to talk about, you know, their sailing adventures and just Jimmy Buffett or whatever else comes up. Tim and Angela, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. We're glad to be
here. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I like to have a wide range of guests, you know, and one of the things that I really like is, I mean, obviously it's awesome to talk to musicians and different people too, but I really like to just have like fellow Jimmy Buffett fans or fellow fans of, you know, living a tropical lifestyle on to talk about escapism, because that's just a fun thing to talk about too. And so, I don't even remember. I think it's because you posted a picture on your boat or something. And I was just like, hey, do you want to be on the podcast? You have a boat.
Yes.
That's the only requirement for being on the podcast.
Well, actually, on Facebook, my cover photo is, our boat is tied up just outside. I mean, literally 3 feet from Margaritaville in Destin. So,
ooh, yeah, there so you
we
go.
We spent some time there too.
That's yeah. So that there you go. You have a boat. You're tied up outside of Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Like this is the makings for a great podcast episode already. but let's just start out with because you know you're fans of the podcast, but maybe people don't know you the same way that like if I have, you know, trap rock musicians or whatever on. So let's start with like, what's your background? You know, like how did you get into sort of Jimmy Buffett, sailing, the kinds of things, like are those things you always liked or, you know, how did that come about in your life?
Well, as far as fans of Jimmy Buffett, I think I kind of married into that because Tim is more has been a Jimmy fan a lot longer than I have. He's the parrot head. When I first met him, I didn't know what a parrot head was and he had to explain it to me. But since then, we've gone to several of his shows, been to we went to a tailgate party and we were members of a local parrot head club. So I've tasted that life and enjoyed it. As far as sailing, we actually bought our first sailboat 8 years ago. And we live about 5 minutes from a lake here in Belton, Texas. And we had just kind of talked about getting into sailing. Tim said, it's something I've always wanted to do. And I said, well, you know, I've been on a sailboat one time and I thought it was pretty cool. So let's try it. So we got an inexpensive sailboat, took a few lessons. We took lessons on the coast in Kima, which is right outside Galveston, and actually got certified and just spent a lot of time sailing here on the lake, members of a yacht club here. And then we did a charter to British Virgin Islands a few years ago and did island hopping and said, you know, is this the kind of life we really want to do? And we said, yes, it is. So then we just kind of worked our way into buying the sailboat we have now. And we bought it on the coast with the plan to sail it to Florida, spend time in Florida, and eventually sail it down to the Bahamas. So that's kind of how we got started.
Wow, that's a good call, though, like doing Like you had some sailing experience, but before you really went for it, you were like, okay, let's do like a charter situation where we're going to like do it, but like, we're just going to rent or, you know, whatever. And not just, I think sometimes people are like, I'm going to buy a boat.
And have no experience.
And then they get a boat, or like they have experience, like you said, just sailing around a lake or something, but they don't, they haven't actually experienced, you know, sailing around the islands or in different places or much like longer sails, you know, sailing overnight, all of those kinds of things that you have to do when you really like sail to places.
We don't do ocean passages, and honestly we don't really have any plans or desires to do that. So we're you know, what's called a coastal cruiser. And I mean, we've got the boat down in Florida, and it's the perfect place to do that kind of thing. And I mean, it's given us a lot of great experiences and adventures.
Now, we have crossed a couple of times. We have done a couple overnight crossings. And when we go to the Bahamas, that will require one or two overnight crossings.
Probably one.
So we have done that. And that was probably my biggest fear, was doing an overnight crossing. And the first one we did was really, really bad.
It was one of those,
you know, we got it out of the way. It was one of my worst fears of being on the boat could possibly happen, happened. But we kind of regrouped and said, you know, is this something we really want to continue doing? And then the second overnight crossing was a breeze. It was wonderful. We were out sailing and we watched the sunset. We were out in the water like 40 How far were we out?
About 30, 40 miles.
Yeah, 30, 40 miles offshore. Watch the sunset. Then, you know, between Tim and I, we were able to get a little bit of sleep. Then the next morning, watch the sunrise. You know, the moon was beautiful. The moon, you know, off the water. It was a pleasant crossing. So,
That's good that you've had, you stuck with it enough to then have a good experience. Because definitely, like, night sails can be like really amazing and like magical, but once again, that's like if no really major things go wrong. What was the thing that happened on the first night overnight?
Well, the first passage, and actually it's how we ended up tied up outside Margaritaville in Destin, Florida,
because we were going to bypass Destin.
We were going straight, you know, we were going to head straight and sail for about 18 hours and then stop. But I mean, we got offshore. We were about 30 miles offshore, and there was some unforecasted swell and wave action, and the winds did what they weren't supposed to do. And we just got completely beaten up for about 12 hours. And,
That's rough.
Yeah. So we turned tail and ran to Destin, and we hung out there for a couple of days, ate in restaurants, went to Margaritaville.
I got a massage. Because I said, I'm getting a massage.
So, we regrouped, and the next time, you know, experience pays and the lessons learned. So, it was much better the second time.
That's good. Yeah, I think, I mean, I've done some sailing, but also it was like in – you know, the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And we did overnight passages, multi-day passages, all of that. But like, and sometimes it was rainy or whatever, but you know, we were like, you know, in the easy to sail season for the most part. And it wasn't, but you know, I read a lot of, one of my favorite genres of book to read is like travel, people who like buy boats and sail off places and then write about it, you know, like real life stuff. And it definitely seems like one of the biggest things that you have to be ready for if you're going to do that, even if you're not doing like huge, you know, distance sails or whatever, is just like to be adaptable and be ready for anything and ready to change your plans, because you can't control the weather. And that's a huge part of sailing, you know, is whatever the weather is doing, you have to deal with it. So it's, in some ways, it's, you know, obviously that's really unfortunate, but also to get that out of the way right away and like know that you can handle it. You know, it's probably reassuring in some ways to be like, okay, well, this already happened. So we know like we can deal with it if we need to.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a great point because, you know, we got, once we completed our second overnight passage and we were down, further down into Southern Florida, you know, so now we had not only great stories, but the experience, you know, to pass that on to others and say, hey, don't worry, you know, yeah, it could be bad, but guess what? You know, you're going to come out okay. And yeah. And that happened in a couple of occasions.
And you can always adjust your plans and hang out at Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Lesson learned.
Which was not bad. Now, the beauty of being tied up, you know, like I said, literally feet from the entrance to Margaritaville was we had the benefit of the music all day and up to closing. So, you know, I've got photos of us just sitting out in the boat listening to the music. And, you know, it's only feet away inside Margaritaville. So, no, it was a good experience. Finally.
Yeah.
I mean, afterwards.
Right. Like it made it worth it. Right. Like it was like a light at the end of the tunnel kind of a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your boat? Like, tell me a little bit about what kind of boat you have.
It's a Catalina 350, which is a sloop rigged sailboat. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a production boat. It's extremely well suited to coastal cruising. Very, very comfortable, you know, very, very seaworthy for coastal cruising. Would I take it across the Atlantic? Probably not.
Yeah, but that's not what you want to do anyway. I mean,
yeah,
I also love sailing, but I'm definitely a fair weather, like most things. Like I don't really, like, I love to scuba dive, but I don't really want to scuba dive, you know, places that aren't like the tropics or like, right, you know, clear water and warm water. Like, I don't really want to scuba dive if it's like, I have to wear like a dry suit because it's so cold.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. That's
so
not
like
fun.
Sailing is like, I love to sail, but I don't need to like feel like I need to like, you know, cross the Atlantic or do some big thing. Like I'd be totally happy just, you know, sailing like little port to little port every day, you know?
Right,
so,
we tend to tuck into anchorages and, you know, go to marinas and that kind of thing to avoid bad weather because, I mean, we're not in this to be salty ocean sailors. We're in it to enjoy and have fun. So,
right,
you know, we try to make that happen.
And the great thing with sailing we found is that when you travel, you can charter boats other places and, you know, enjoy sail islands around the area that you're traveling in. You don't have to have your boat everywhere you go. So we plan on doing that also.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's actually a good idea. Like I hadn't really thought of that. Cause I just think like, oh, if you have your own boat, but yeah, especially if it's like places where you like aren't as used to going, or you just want to really relax and not have to do the sailing yourself. Like you could always just, once you're in like the Caribbean or something, you can go off on other trips and not necessarily have to just sail your boat everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, the travel time is no joke. I mean, it takes you a while to get somewhere. It's enjoyable, but sometimes, you know, you can't say I'm going to be somewhere on a specific date and time because as you mentioned, you know, the weather has a vote.
Yeah. A big vote.
Yeah.
Have you read any of those books? Like, did you sort of prepare for this by like reading other people's stories or hearing other people's stories about like their sailing experience? Or were you like, I don't want to know all the bad things that happen?
Well, I kind of wanted to know. We did take a class that was geared towards couples. What's the couple name?
Toucan Sail is the name of it. It was a seminar at the Annapolis Boat Show that we went to a couple years ago.
And so they put out a book, and I kind of read through that, and it talked about their main objective is to get people on a boat. You know, people that want to buy a boat, things you need to do to get prepared for the boat, safety issues and things like that. And we had already kind of done all of those things. We, you know, we already owned the boat and had done some sailing experience, new safety equipment we needed to have and things like that. But in their book, they did have stories about people who had bad experiences, like kind of similar to ours. And we read through it and they talked about how they got through it and they continued sailing. And Usually it was from the wife's perspective. usually the wife is the one that doesn't necessarily want to do this, but she's doing it to support her husband. But, you know, if she comes out and she's okay, and she said, look, we did it, we survived, you know, we're going to keep our boat type of thing. So
yeah,
that I have read, and we have in the seminar, we heard this couple told us some stories and things like that. So we knew a little bit about what to expect.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, we prepared. We didn't just buy the boat and sail away, because we bought the boat in 2018 down in Kima, as Angela mentioned. And then we kept it there for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we sailed and we prepared and you know, we read various forums and blogs and things like that.
And Tim watches a lot of YouTube channels. Yeah.
And a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I felt like we were prepared, at least as well prepared as we were going to be.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can sit there for, you know, forever and always think or think you always need to know one more thing or you need one more thing to go. And finally, we just said, hey, look, if we're going to go, let's go. So we did.
Yeah, and it's probably easy to, if you buy a boat and it's, you know, anchored or docked or parked somewhere where it's already in a pleasant location to be in, like there's probably a danger of just like, oh, well, we could just like go to the boat and like stay on the boat and it's already in Florida or it's already in the Keys or whatever. And then never, you know, even need to take the leap to like try and sail it that many places. It's almost like, I feel like that could be a problem that people run into where it just kind of turns into just a sort of like a floating hotel room that you have in a place. But then, you know, it's like, well, it's comfortable here and it's already in a nice place. So, you know, we don't even need to bother to like try and sail it anywhere.
Yeah. No, it's very easy to get into that mindset. And I mean, we see it everywhere we go. And I mean, you know, at least they have a boat, so they're enjoying it to whatever level they want to enjoy it,
which is fine. I'm not saying that like that's, you shouldn't do that, but I'm just saying like, if you start out really wanting to sail, it might be easy to fall in the trap of just being like, oh, well, this is so comfortable that we're just set up in this place.
Oh, it's very easy. I mean, the marina that we had the boat in, where we bought the boat and we kept it in the same marina, as I mentioned, for almost 2 years. I mean, the place was, I mean, it was great. You know, there was a restaurant and a bar and a pool and pavilions. And I mean, it was fantastic. It had live entertainment all the time. Oh, it was great. It would have been very easy to just stay there.
But there's not really that many great places to sail there on the Texas coast. So even doing, you know, going, well, let's go here and anchor out for a weekend. There's really not any great places to do that. So
we left. But the plan all along was, you know, buy a boat, spend some time getting accustomed to it, finalize preparations, and then leave. And, you know, ultimately to the Bahamas. And then after that, I mean, we really don't know what we'll do after the Bahamas once we finally get there.
Right. Well, there are the Bahamas is a lot. I mean, you know, if you have a boat where you can just sort of sail around wherever you want, there's a lot to see in the Bahamas.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's so many islands that are, you know, a lot of people don't even go to because they're not really inhabited in a way that like tourists wouldn't just like fly there. But if you have a boat to like just sail around and drop anchor, like there's so much to see. I'm sure you could spend a lot of time just in the Bahamas.
Right.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, people go and spend months and months and still don't see the whole thing. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. I mean, we were on our way. That was the plan. And this was in February 20,
Last year
when, you know, we finally made our crossing of the Gulf and got down into the southern part of Florida. And then of course COVID hit, and we were sitting there after our crossing saying, well, shoot, you know, what are we going to do? Because everything was closing down, the Keys closed, and that was going to be our next destination from where we were up around Clearwater, Florida. And, you know, we couldn't go there. So, you know, we thought, airlines are going to close down or whatever was going to happen. So we hauled the boat out right away and put it in storage, and went home to Texas. And, you know, we spent a year sitting on the patio watching Jimmy Buffett sing songs you don't know by heart, you know, with boat drinks.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then thank goodness,
right, season. That he did that to hold us over.
Oh, yeah. It was a lifesaver. I mean, and there was so much going on, you know, with music on Facebook and other platforms that, I mean, it became a pretty standard thing. We would go sit on the back patio and, you know, get our boat drink and sit there with the iPad or the phone or whatever and just watch whatever the artist was.
Yeah, there's so many artists started streaming during pandemic that never really did. Like, there were like a couple people that I already sort of, you know, followed that would sometimes do like Facebook live shows, but it was like one or two people. And then like when the pandemic hit, everybody was doing it, which, you know, is unfortunate for them that like was their only outlet to be able to perform and, you know, make some money. But it was really nice for us.
Yeah, it was great.
I got to see so many artists that like I normally would only see once a year when they came here for a house concert.
Yeah.
And now they're doing like weekly shows, you know? So it was kind of, it definitely helped those of us that were really stuck inside for a long time during everything that's been going on. It was something nice to help get through that for sure.
Yeah.
When did you get the boat out of storage?
It was this past November. We kept it in storage for hurricane season. But this past November we went back and got it out of storage and then continued. That was outside of Bradenton. And then when we continued, we went to Venice, stayed in Venice for a couple of days. And then right now the boat's in a marina outside Punta Gorda. So our plan is to keep it there for a little while and then decide what we're going to do this summer. Either keep it in the marina where it is and continue doing our sailing, or move it to Pensacola maybe, because it's a little bit closer for us to get to the boat. But our next big trip that we're doing is next month. We're going to go to the Dry Tortugas and the Keys. So that's on the calendar for next month.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's a good, like, getting back out there. Like, things are starting to, you know, I mean, definitely not back to normal, but, like, people are starting to get vaccinated. Like, things are starting to open up a little more. So that'll be really nice to get back out there and do a fun trip and go to the Keys. I wish I was doing that.
Well, what we're thinking is, as Angela mentioned, where we're at is pretty central. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do if you sail north. But since we came from north to south, we kind of hit some spots as we move south. So we've been focused on exploring south. And of course, the Keys and Dry Tortugas has been, you know, number two on the list and went to number one once, you know, the COVID, and then it became so difficult to get in and out of the Bahamas. So we said, we can get to the Keys and Dry Tortugas without too much of a hassle. So, you know, we are going to head there and spend, I don't know how long, you know, again, weather dependent, of course. Yeah. But it's a perfect time of year to be out on the Florida coast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my friend, you know, Dan Smith from Classic Buffett lives in Key West. And so he's just like always posting pictures of like sending me like, oh, here I am at Schooner's today, just like having a beer at 2 p.m. Like here I am at like Louis' backyard, you know, just like, all right, well, you don't have to rub it in.
that's just being mean.
Just living vicariously. The thing is, like, I am moving somewhere further away and colder, but like, to me, living in the desert and having it be 110 degrees with no ocean anywhere nearby is like not the same as, you know, like that's like that's like in no way the same as like being in the Florida Keys, you know? Yeah. So like, you know, it's like, okay, why are you moving from somewhere warm to somewhere colder? But it's not. It is warm, but to me, it's not really the kind of warm that I prefer, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's all beach, ahead. Though. It's all beach, just no water.
Yeah, well, the beach is the ocean is the part I prefer. I'm more of a, like, jump in the ocean, swim, snorkel, scuba, than I am a, like, lay on the beach person. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's two camps. It's like when you go on a like beach vacation, there's people that really just love to like lay on the beach and like sun or read or whatever. And then there's people that really like to go in the water. And I'm definitely like a water baby, not a like tanning on the beach person.
Yeah,
so
right.
So well, for me, it's not the best.
It's funny you mention that because part of the decision process, you know, to buy a bigger boat and to take it down to Florida and all, you know, we used to go to the beach quite often. You know, every summer we would have trips down to the beach, Anza and I, and more often than not,
even throughout the year.
Yeah, pretty much throughout the year, the Texas coast is available, you know, as far as the weather goes. But, you know, you go and it's like you said, okay, you're on the beach, which is great, but now what? You know, so all the time I was thinking, man, you know, okay, so I love the beach, but once we get here, you know, you can only sit on the beach for so long. So, you know, what's the attraction of the water? Well, it's a natural segue then to think, sailboat. So that was part of the decision process anyway.
Yeah, like gives you something to do. Like you can sit on the beach when you want.
Yeah.
But then when you're bored of that, you can like go off and have fun adventures on your sailboat too.
Yeah.
When you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I it's funny when you mentioned before about Angela, when you said the thing about how in most cases it's like the husband, you know, that's like, well, I want to buy a boat, and the wife's like, I don't know. Which is true. Like most of the books that I've read by people that have done this are like couples where generally it was the husband who, you know, initiated it. But my situation is like the opposite of that, where like I'm the one that really loves like tropical vacations and boats and all of those things. And my husband's like, I don't know. And it was really funny. I felt like I had a huge victory a while ago. We were talking about, I can't even remember what we were talking about or like how it came up, but he was like, yeah, I think I would want to live on a boat. And I was just like, yes.
Finally.
So whispering in his ear at night while he's asleep has worked.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Just recorded my voice saying like, you want to have a boat over and over.
Yeah.
And it's not that he hates like vacation. I mean, we got married in Hawaii and like he's been going there since he was a kid, and you know, but he's definitely more of like a doer, like he wants to do things, you know. Yeah. He's not like a I just want to go and like hang out on the beach person.
Exactly.
So I think like you know, a boat, if I can win him over to a boat, then that's like something that, you know, is something that is like an activity, but also I think if he's okay with like living on a boat part of the time, that would be like a big win for me, because I always thought that that's something he like would never want to do. So
right,
well, it's the first baby step then.
I think like it would never, I don't think we would ever have like a permanent boat, like live on a boat all the time, but definitely, like, you know, we have wherever else we live. And then, like, you're doing right now, which is sometimes going and being on your boat sometimes. I think that I could definitely talk him into. I think living on a boat permanently and having that be like the only thing that you do all the time is probably not for him.
Yeah.
But,
but I'll take just like sometimes boat, you know, that's fine with me.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know people who live full time on their boats. They don't own a home or anything like that. And we know, of course, in Florida, the majority of the population are snowbirds. Or wait, what do they call them?
The snowfish.
Snowbirds.
Snowfish.
Snowfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call them snowbirds here in Tucson.
Yeah.
They have a boat part, you know, 6 months out of the year they come and they've either moved their boat down to Florida or they store their boat in Florida over the summer and then get on it over the, you know, they're there for the winter.
Yeah.
And yeah. We met one couple and yeah, he said, we're snowfish. I'm like, I like that. Yep. That's true. Yeah.
But there's,
yeah, I've never
heard
that before.
We know people that, you know, they kind of run the spectrum, I guess. And we are definitely what's known as commuter cruisers because I mean, I still have a job. And so, you know, I have to come back and do the work thing as much as I hate to use that word. But we, you know, we get on the boat as much as we can. But we have no intention and no desire to just sell everything and live on a boat. A lot of people do, but that's not going to be us.
I mean, that's a really big commitment. Like not, you know.
Yeah.
In many ways. One of them is it like the downsizing required. And like I currently live in a very small apartment, you know, but it's still like two bedrooms technically. And like a boat is like downsizing more than, and even if you have like a pretty large boat, is downsizing more than like any other living situation that most people have lived in. So doing that is a challenge, right? Like living with anybody in a really confined space. Is something that, not that it can't work, it obviously can, but it takes adjusting, right?
Mm-hmm. it does, yeah.
Yeah, because you're in 35 feet. I mean, our boat is 35 feet, so we're living in a 35-foot area. But in the marina, you, of course, get off the boat, and you have other things you can enjoy and things like that. But yeah, we're not one to sell. We're going to sell everything and just live on the boat full time, no.
Yeah, I think that's for me too, like that's the way to do it is have a boat, be able to take it out and like go on trips with it when you want, but that's not like your only permanent. Honestly, like my husband and I have way too much. We would have to like rent a huge storage unit and just put all our stuff in. There's no way we would be able to get rid of all the things that we love. I have so many books. Like I'm not going to get rid of my books, but like I can't put them all on the boat. So like, what am I going to do with that? So I feel like definitely having another place to live for, you know, at least half the time, if not more, and then having the boat is, for me personally, would be the way to do it for sure. So,
And we have a grandson who's local, so we spend a lot of time with him. So we also kind of work our boat schedule around his schedule so that we can come back and be with him. And we have granddaughters that live in Oklahoma. So we still have family in the area that we spend time with. And I like living in my house and I garden and things like that. And I do a lot of crafting and I have friends that I do social things with. So I'm not ready. You know, I don't want to give any of those things up right now. So we kind of have the best of both worlds, the boat when we want to, and then we can come home. So.
Yeah, that seems like the way to do it for sure. Especially if you're not ready to just sort of like cut all ties and be like, well, we'll see you know, in a year.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people do that and, that works for them. Or so I think some people do it, especially younger people do it because they can't afford to have a house and a boat. So they have to, if they really want to have the boat, they've got to get rid of the house, which, you know, I understand, but we're not in that situation. So we can still enjoy both things.
Yeah, like I said, I'm kind of a fair weather person. So like my retirement plan is to like have a boat and a house.
Yes,
but like probably that's not gonna happen for a while because you know, unfortunately, I'm still pretty far from retirement. So, but down the line, that would ideally be something that I would love to do for sure. And in the meantime, I just, you know, listen to other people tell their stories about how they're living on or having, you know, boats and things. And then I just like live vicariously through them. So,
right. Yeah.
Well, if your husband likes, you know, if he feels like he needs to be doing things, then sailing is the way to go.
Yeah, because, owning a boat.
Well, yeah.
He's mechanical. Hopefully he's mechanical.
He is not.
Well, I mean, not only are there always projects, always something. I mean, it's pretty much the same as for a house, you know, but on a boat, it always feels more pressing and more immediate.
Right. There's always something to fix, probably.
Yeah.
I should say I'm doing him a disservice. He's a brewer, so he like has to fix stuff at work.
Yeah,
like it's not that he's not mechanical when he needs to be. I just don't think that's something he really wants to spend a lot of his time doing. You know what I mean? Like if we're like, oh, here's our boat, and also you have to spend like at least half your time fixing things, he would be like, no, that's a hard pass. So
well, in some cases it takes a concerted effort not to devote too much time to just doing projects, because, you know, again, you'll get caught up in that and then you won't enjoy it. But even when you're sailing, there's plenty to do. And I mean, not to be, you know, specific about, you know, male and female roles, but usually the guy is always tinkering with the sail trim, you know, so if he's sailing, you know, it's always going to be
in a little, take it in a little, let it out a little.
Yeah. Oh, look, I got a tenth of a knot out of that adjustment, you know, so yeah, it's always something to keep you busy, keep you occupied.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, it's pretty far off. So I honestly, like, even if I have to do everything, just getting him agreeing to like come on the boat for any extended amount of time would be like the win for me. So I don't mind being like the one that like does most of the sailing and the, you know, whatever needs to be done. But just the fact that he was like, oh yeah, I would live on a boat. I was like, yes.
No, that's a huge win right there.
You planted the seed and it's slowly growing.
Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of out of nowhere. I was surprised, but it was nice to hear that. Like I did, like, that at least I could continue to dream that dream and like that this is something that might happen someday. So
it's keeping hope alive anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys have, I mean, like obviously the Margaritaville situation worked out well, but do you have other like anchorages, ports, like places that are some of the your favorites that you've been with the boat?
Well, recently we anchored outside of Cabbage Key. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but there's a restaurant. It's a teeny tiny little island, and you can only get to it by boat. And there's a type of resort there where they rent out cabins and things like that. But there's a restaurant there, and it's, from what we were told, it's where Jimmy Buffett ate the cheeseburger that inspired the Cheeseburger in Paradise song.
That's what they claim, anyway.
But it was a good cheeseburger.
A lot of places claim that.
I know.
Because I always thought that it was St. Bart's, Les Select in St. Bart's was like the thing that I had heard that was like the cheeseburger. But like, I think there's many places that, so I don't know. I don't know the real actual one.
Right.
That's probably letting myself down as a Jimmy Buffett fan that like, can't remember what's the real story, but I think if a place claims it, like, sure, go, why not? Like, go for it.
I mean, it was a good cheeseburger. It was very good. Whether it was a, you know, in a cheeseburger in paradise with world renowned, I don't know. But, you know,
it was a pretty setting.
And I had heard the same claim down in Tortola in the BVI when the one time we went there, you know, they claim to be where Jimmy Buffett wrote that song. So I don't know. It's a good story.
And when we did our BVI trip and we chartered there, we one of the places we went was where Foxy's. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I've been to Foxy's.
Okay.
So we went there, and so we got to experience Foxy's, and that was really cool. And then that night, we kind of asked around for a place to eat. And I don't know who, I think one of the ladies at the
one of the locals,
talked about this place called Abe's for lobster. And she said, you have to call ahead and let them know how many. And we were actually there with another couple. So we called ahead and they had this, they sent this little van to pick us up. And we got into this van and it drove, it was probably straight up a mountain.
It seemed like it, yeah.
It was a teeny tiny little lane. You know, you're looking off and there's the mountains just dropping off. And we're like, oh my gosh, we're going to die here. But we got to the top and we went to this place. And it was all like this open restaurant, all open air. And the restaurant was pretty much falling apart. You know, it was really, had been there a long time. But we went in and we each got a lobster. The biggest, the best lobster we have ever had.
Yeah.
We had that night. And it was so good. And then the lady came and showed us where the lobster actually came from. And she walked us off where the water was and pulled up the lobster traps, and here were all these huge lobsters right inside. So, I mean, the freshest lobster, huge. And that was probably, you know, one of our best memories eating at that place. So anytime if we go somewhere else and we're like, oh, they have lobster on the menu. No, that's not going to be, you know, we
it
know
doesn't measure up.
You ruined now.
Ruined
for all of our lobsters.
Yeah. So we got to do Foxy's, and that's in one of Kenny Chesney songs. And then we, you know, that delicious lobster. So that was really neat.
I love that story because that is like the quintessential going to the BVI, or honestly, like most of the islands in the Caribbean story of like, we asked a local for a recommendation. They recommended this thing. We like had a cab that took us up like on this tiny road in the mountains.
Right.
And then we ended up at this place that we like, that's to me, that's like what like makes the BVI and the Caribbean in general, but especially the BVI and a couple other islands are like some of my favorite places to go.
Right.
And part of it is like that. There's always like, if you ask like your local cab driver or someone, you know, a local, like, hey, where should I eat or where should I do this? Like, you're always going to get like whisked away to like some random place that's like in some weird situation, but like ends up being the best thing you've ever had.
Right. Yep.
And I just love that. So that's just a perfect example of the kind of thing that happens when you just say like, hey, where should we go to do this? And then they just like take you there and you're like, okay, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Now come back and get us in a little while. because we have no idea where we are.
Right. Yeah. Like we're going to need a return trip for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. The BVI definitely is like holds a special place in my heart. And yeah, like I've been to Foxy's, I've been to all those places. So it's so fun to get to talk to other people that have been there and just be like, it was so great, you know?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, we will go back in a month. As a matter of fact, I think it was yesterday we were talking about BVI and just said, you know what? It's way like past
six,
time.
6 years ago. We went.
To go yeah. back. But I mean, you know, we're kind of on a different adventure path right now, but it is definitely going to happen again.
We will definitely go back.
I mean, we got dive certified specifically for that trip and just had the best time.
Yeah, the diving there is in the Caribbean is just like so great. And there's so many different, like the different islands like have really different like sort of types of dives you can do, you know, and I haven't been scuba diving in a long time now, but I really, really love it a lot. It's been a few years since, I think it's been three or four years now since I was in the Caribbean, and I feel like that is too long.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Luckily, like my parents love to go on trips like that. So I'm always just like, so when are you guys going to the Caribbean next? Like, can I invite myself along? I'm an only child. So like, you know, it's, they just have me to take places if I'm like, hey, can I go with you on this trip? Yeah. So like we always went on family trips growing up to all sorts of, you know, Mexico and the Caribbean, all these places. So,
mm-hmm. so, so now, I,
I count on them. I was just gonna say, I sort of count on them to be like, hey, so like, when are you guys going? And like, can I come with you?
Yeah, we have children as well who tend to want to tag along with mom and dad. But now, do your parents sail?
So they don't own a boat. They actually did own a boat at one point, but it wasn't a sailboat. They have another couple that they're friends with that loves to sail too, and so they've done a charter in the Caribbean a number of years where they go with this other couple. And then the last time they went, the other couple's daughter, one of their daughters, was going, and so they were like, do you want to go too? And I was like, yes, please. So it was like me and my parents and then some other friends of our family who I also know, because like they've been friends since we were kids. So like I hadn't seen their daughter in a really, really long time, but we used to be friends when we were kids, and it was just like a really awesome time.
Yeah. Well, and we went with another couple as well, some friends of ours from here at home. And yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, and they are sailors as well. So, I mean, we just had a fantastic time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to go if you have friends that also want to do that and are willing to live in a small space with you for amount of time. Like, it's nice to go with other people because who also know what they're doing, because then like the burden of like, if you're chartering a boat where you don't like the way that my parents and their friends did it was like, they did, it wasn't like a charter where they had a captain, right? Like they
rented
the boat and did all the sailing, but it's nice to have other people. So, you know, if you want a break or, you know, you just have more people to go around in terms of like doing the chores and like the work of sailing and all of that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice to just have like extra people on there too that can help. Cause it's like a lot, especially in strong wind, like running the helm all the time, it gets kind of tiring. Sometimes I would be like, okay, I'm done now. Like someone else do it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the beauty though in BVI is it's pretty much short sails. And I mean, unless you're going to go up to Anegada, which we did not.
I have done the Anegada passage, and it was really the only time I had like seasickness the whole time I did this long sailing study abroad thing I did in college. Yeah. was like the only time that I felt seasick.
But you know what I was going to say is that it was, they're short passages, and so I mean we would specifically look for sails that were only going to be, you know, a few hours at most long, because I mean the sailing is a lot of fun, but you want to hurry up and get where you're going so you can enjoy it, you know, whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. So you can have a cocktail.
Without exception. Yes. Without fail.
Do you guys what are your favorite drinks or boat drinks specifically, I guess?
Well, of course, margaritas. And one of the things that we discovered many years ago, it's a product called Margarita in a Bag. It's by Lieutenant Blenders. Have you heard of that?
No, I have not.
Yeah, but it's got all the mixes in the bag, and it's like a big, I don't know if you know what an MRE is, but it's like a big Capri Sun, actually. But
I do know what an MRE is, actually.
Okay, so it looks like that, but you add the water, the tequila, and if you want to add
triple sec.
And you put it in this big bag and you shake it up really well, and you can store it in the freezer. And so it makes kind of like a frozen margarita, or you can keep it in the refrigerator and do margarita on the rocks. But it's really handy to have on the boat too, because again, you can put it in the freezer and you know, you automatically have a cold drink. But we like margaritas. We love painkillers because we, you know, found that in BVI.
Painkillers are my favorite.
Yeah.
And we've even been able to find Pusser's rum here locally. So anytime we see that, I'll buy the Pusser's rum. So we have that. And
yeah, that's actually the kind of rum I have at my house now. Yeah. They sell it. They randomly sell it at like, you know, we have Total Wine. I don't know if that's one that you guys have, but it's like one of those really big bulk like alcohol stores, and they sold it there. So I was like, oh, I haven't had this in 10 years or 15 years or however long it's been since I was there. So I was like, just buy this for a little nostalgia.
Yeah. And we like dark and stormies. Tim started making those and is really good at making dark and stormies. So those are probably our favorite drinks.
Have you been to Key West before?
Yes, we actually did a trip when we flew and drove down there. We went to Miami. We did a trip to Miami and then we went to Key West for a couple of days because it was one of those things we want to see the Keys, go to Key West and things like that. So we did spend a couple of days at Key West, and we've gone to another trip where we went to Key Largo and stayed in that area. So we've been there a couple of times, but that wasn't on a boat. That was just driving. Trip. Yeah.
The reason I asked is because the chart room in Key West is like the place that I associate with dark and stormies. Like that's when we're in Key West, like when I go for Meeting of the Minds, like my friends are always like, oh, we got to go to Chart Room and get a dark and stormy, as if like that's the only bar that has that drink. Okay. But like that's the place that we go for that drink for some reason. So it just reminded me of that. I don't know if you've been there, but if you haven't, then next time you go there, we'll get the dark and stormy.
Yeah, we'll look it up.
We did not go there on that one trip into Key West, but it is definitely on the list. Yeah. I mean, what we'll probably end up doing, as has been recommended by a bunch of our cruiser friends, is we'll go to Marathon with the boat when we go to the Keys, and then take the bus down to Key West rather than trying to find a marina or something down there. So we can get into Marathon pretty easily with the boat, and there's mooring fields available. So, you know, we'll go there and then go down and spend however long in Key West if we want to, and then go back to the boat in Marathon.
That's probably smart because if you're talking about sometimes people who just like camp out, like live on their boat and just kind of park it in one spot and never go anywhere. I think there's a lot of those people in Key West.
Right,
a lot of the marinas are just taken up with boats of people that just like live on their boat there all the time and don't really go a lot of places because like you live in Key West. So
where are you going to go when you're living in paradise, right?
Pretty easy to just get settled in there and not really feel like you need to go anywhere else, I'm sure. So it probably makes more sense to find a marina somewhere else that is close enough that you can go, but far enough away that you have easy moorage. For sure. Have you been to Meeting of the Minds before? I know you said you were in the Parrot Head Club at one point.
No, we have not. And we had the couple, well, the guy of the couple, the man of the couple that he was president of the Parrot Head chapter that we were in. They went along with a couple of other members from the club.
They go every year.
Yeah. They make a point to go every year. Obviously not last year, but we have not been. But
it's one of those things we might do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an annual thing. So, you can pretty much count on that being an option indefinitely if you ever want to do it, it's just, especially if like, in addition to liking Jimmy Buffett, you like, a lot of the other sort of trap rock musicians or musicians in that sort of field, like that's just a really good way to see a lot of live music in a very short amount of time. So I actually would love to go I've only been to Key West during a Meeting of the Minds, and I would just really love to go on a regular trip and do things. I love Meeting of the Minds and I love seeing all the musicians, but I basically spend all my time going to see music. And then, so I've actually done like barely any other like Key West touristy things because I just spend all my time like going to see music there during Meeting of the Minds. So I would definitely love to just like take a more relaxing Key West vacation where it wasn't just like, okay, this person's playing at this time and then this person's playing at this time and then we're gonna go to this bar and then
let's run to the next,
but it's definitely not you know, you're really there for that. And at least in what the way that I've done it, you know, I haven't really experienced a lot of the keys because it's just that you're there for that thing. And that takes up all your time. So,
yeah.
So I definitely love to just do like a regular Key West trip at some point for sure.
A little more touristy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little more like laid back and not so much like, okay, we have a schedule.
Yeah. That's the last thing you want to have in the Keys.
Right. It's fun, but it's definitely not like a relaxing vacation in the way that normally when you would go to somewhere, you know, on a tropical vacation, you're sort of looking for.
Now we did see Jimmy, as part of the Parrothead Club, because when he played Austin City Limits, when was that?
May 2016.
Yeah, in 2016, we got tickets through our chapter of the club.
Oh, I love Austin City Limits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was phenomenal.
And we were on the floor very close, and it's a small venue, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was...
Yeah, that's seeing him in that kind of venue is definitely not something that happen, like most people don't get that experience, so that's really cool for sure. Tim, we didn't really talk about like how you first got into Jimmy Buffett or like what your experience as a Jimmy Buffett fan is. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I distinctly remember 1995. I was sitting in Leavenworth, Kansas. And it was winter and it was so cold, so incredibly cold. And, you know, up to that point, I had been a Jimmy Buffett fan, I suppose, but not huge. But I started listening to his music because, of course, you know, it takes you away from the winter. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, when I really got into his music and started kind of paying attention to what he had done. And from that point on, you know, I was really hooked.
Yeah. I think it's interesting at whatever point people sort of discover, which like most people I know have liked Jimmy Buffett for a long time, but like I also have talked to and hopefully going to have someone on the podcast that like is a really new Jimmy Buffett fan, like just like a year ago they super got into Jimmy Buffett, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really interesting to me, but like I feel like no matter when you sort of start like liking him or like learn about him, it's like if you like discover him and think like, oh, this is really like, this is for me, then it's like all in kind of like, I don't really know anybody that was like, oh yeah, like I kind of like Jimmy Buffett. It's either like, I don't really care about Jimmy Buffett or like, I love Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's like whatever that thing is that kind of gets you in the door from, I think for most people from that point on, it's like, okay, well, I love Jimmy Buffett now.
Yeah.
And his concerts are like a big party. I mean, it's such a different experience to go to his concerts. If you can do the tailgating party thing, I highly recommend doing that. But if not, just the concert itself, you know, the people in their costumes and the stuff they bring and the beach balls and just the whole, you know, environment it's different than, you know, a normal concert that you would go to. So it's a lifestyle, really.
Yeah, it really is. Like, especially for me, like a lot of the other music I like is like, you know, indie music, folk music. Like there certainly aren't tailgating before like, you know, indie band concert or whatever. Yeah.
you know, I almost feel like there's different aspects of being a Jimmy Buffett fan and liking his music because, I mean, the concerts are great. They are, you know, they are great fun. I mean, we've been, what was it, 5 or 6 different concerts and always, always had a good time without exception. But that's almost like the showman aspect of Jimmy Buffett and his music because, you know, he has a set list. He doesn't do a lot of the deeper cuts and things like that. But, you know, he's got so much great music out there that really will kind of pull you in and tell stories and, you know, it's to me, it's completely different than his concert almost.
Yeah, that's very true. And I mean, like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before with other people, like you can love both those things, and
many
fans do, but also there's some people that are more just into like the concert aspect. And there's some people that like, that's almost too much. Right. And they're more just into like, really want to like listen to Jimmy Buffett deep cuts, you know, at home with a margarita or a beer or whatever. But I do think that like, that's a good point in that if you know someone that doesn't really like, or doesn't maybe like know that much about Jimmy Buffett, but you think they might, I feel like the concert is like the gateway Jimmy Buffett. Like, you could take anyone that likes to have a good time to that, and they'll have a good time, even if they don't really know that much Jimmy Buffett music or think that they're not into Jimmy Buffett. And then once they go to that and they're like, well, that was a really good time, then you're like, okay, well, here's some other songs listen to, right? And then it's kind of like sort of a way to like get people in the door, and then you're like, okay, now like here's all these old albums, go listen to that too.
And you know, but the guy Jimmy Buffett there's so much more to him, and all these companies he's built and everything. I mean, he has really been focused on giving back, and you know, I have a lot of respect for him. He's very talented, obviously, but you know, it's not like he's give me more kind of guy.
Yeah, that's, I think, you know, and I say this all the time too, but like, I think also for a lot of people, being a big part of being a Jimmy Buffett fan is that, especially if you sort of have been in the Parrothead Club, because that's kind of how they do it, you know, but even just liking Jimmy Buffett because he does a lot of giving back, like you say, is like, that's a big part of being a fan too, is kind of also embracing that desire to give back and help other people. And you just set up the segue perfectly for the next thing, which is, I don't know if you did that on purpose, but like,
no.
Thank you. which is, do you want to talk a little bit about the charity that you chose for this episode? And then the podcast will make a donation. I will make a donation to it.
Okay. Well, the one charity that we've been giving to, and every year when our kids ask us what we want for Christmas, we give them charity places to give instead of giving us things. But the one that's really been on our heart for the last year or so, it's a local charity, and it's called Helping Hands Ministry here in Belton. That's where we live, Belton, Texas. And when COVID hit last year and people lost jobs or lost, you know, working hours or whatever, their food pantry, they have a huge food pantry. So they were able to, you know, help families in need with food items. When we recently had our big storm last month, where we had all the snow and the ice and people, you know, had issues, again, food related, they were short on food supplies. Actually, our grocery stores were actually short on a lot of food supplies because they couldn't even get the trucks here. They stepped up and they were able to open up their food pantry again to families in need. Every year at the beginning of school, they have a backpack program where they supply backpacks full of school supplies for the kids that need it. And that was a big thing for me, because I'm a retired teacher. And so I know what the need is for those students that go to school and they don't have the school supplies they need or a new backpack type of thing. So that's some of the things they do. So that's our charity.
That's great. Yeah. It sounds like they do a lot of really good work. I mean, as someone that lost their job during COVID, like, I really appreciate, I mean, I would, luckily am in a pretty privileged position where, you know, like, I got a new job fairly quickly, so I didn't really have to worry about that too much. But, you know, it also was a huge surprise, and I didn't think I was going to have to be dealing with like not having a job. So I really appreciate that they, you know, have that available and helped out people that were in that circumstance. Just because I know obviously a ton of people, have had a really hard time this last year because of that.
Right.
So
yeah,
So that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Do they have a website that people will be able to go to?
It's probably under Helping Hands Ministry. They're not just in Belton. When you look at it, there'll be like Central Texas or something like that. But the one that we give to is the one here in Belton, but they all pretty much do the same thing. They're in different towns, different communities.
Okay, cool.
But they all pretty much focus on the same thing.
Get the website. I'll just post that in the show notes so that people can go and check it out if they want to, if they're interested. I always say like I'm going to make a donation on behalf of the podcast, but anyone listening, like even if you can't make a donation, like that's totally fine. But, you know, just go check it out. See if it's something that you are interested in or like want to tell other people about. I think word of mouth is always a great way to get these organizations out there. Yeah. And then like that is also helpful to them to just have more people know about them. Right. And even people can't necessarily give money or whatever. So.
And they do have volunteers. Yeah. It's run by volunteers. So, and it's something Tim and I have talked about giving our time, but with COVID and everything, we were kind of, we really don't want to put ourselves in that predicament. Yeah. So, but now we both have been vaccinated and, you know, more things are opening up. And so that may be something we'll get into later is actually going and, you know, working with them. So,
yeah. And that's the nice thing about, you know, giving back is like there's so many ways to do it that you don't have to just give money or something, right? Like if giving money is the thing that works best for you, then that's great. But, you know, maybe you don't have really the money, but you have time and you want to go volunteer, or maybe you don't have either of those things, but like, you know, some friends that might be interested and you're going to tell them about it. You know, like there's just so many ways people can help, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to write a check, you know?
I
mean, not that anybody's writing a check. I'm not going to write a check. but that's like an online payment situation these days, generally speaking, but just a figure of speech.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a checkbook, but I think I use it once in like every 2 years or something.
Right. Yeah. I think we have one here somewhere in a drawer.
It's so weird when a situation's like, oh, we need you to like write a check for this. And you're like, wait, what? I
don't. Yeah. Well, we had that experience for all of last year. The place we stored the boat does no online transactions whatsoever. So I had to write and mail a check every month.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. We lived in one of the places we lived in here in Tucson got like bought out, or there was some like weird thing. And for one of the years that we lived there, I literally had to go deliver our rent check to the office.
Right. Yeah.
And I was just like, why is this a thing? Like, this is the future. Like, you should have an online payment system.
Yeah.
This is just not the way to do it. These like, oh, just, like fax it over. That's crazy when people want you to fax things.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's off topic, but, thank you so much for sharing that. I hope people go check it out. Like I said, if there's a website, I will post that so people can find it more easily. And, we're getting a little past an hour, so I don't want to keep you all too long, but I just want to thank you so much for being on. I had a great time talking to you, and I think it was so fun to hear about your adventures. I'm jealous for sure. Your boat has a Facebook page, right? Like if people want to follow what you're up to, can they go check you out or?
Yes. And it's called Sailing Perfect Match 2, which is the name of our boat. So
awesome. And if Facebook lets me, sometimes Facebook is really weird about tagging other accounts, but if it lets me, I'll tag the account too when I do a post about this so that people can find it easily. And then they can follow you and keep up with all your fun adventures. And I hope you all will stay in touch. I do already follow your Facebook page, but definitely, like if you're doing fun things, don't be afraid to message me and be like, here we are in X tropical place that you're not in right now.
I'll send you lots of photos.
Yeah,
please do. I'm always happy to, as much as I joke about like Dan sending me photos from Key West all the time and me being grumpy. Like, I actually like would rather see nice photos of tropical places, even if I can't be there, than not see them. So, so yeah, thank you guys so much for being here.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And I do want to say I have really enjoyed listening to your podcast over the months, and really appreciate what you're doing. I mean, you always have interesting people, and I've learned things. As a matter of fact, just as a side note, last week you had, or no, I'm sorry, not the last one, but the next to last one was Tony Head.
Yes.
Yeah, we were listening to that podcast as we left the boat and drove down to the Everglades, and we're listening to that podcast while we were in the Everglades. And even bought the book. Haven't read it yet, but we did buy the book.
So. Yeah, we have the book.
I don't think you'll regret it. I don't think you'll regret it.
Yeah.
But well, thank you.
No, we appreciate it very much. And thanks for sticking with it. I mean,
yeah, I know. There was a while there where I was like, there's things happening. I just like don't have the wherewithal to be doing this like every week or whatever. But I got back into it, so that's good.
And the stickers are on the boat. I love the stickers. Yeah.
I'm so glad. Yes, thank you. I really appreciate that you guys have, you know, been listening for such a long time, and you've been like supporters of the podcast, and that really means so much to me. Like, you don't even know, just having, like, I always say, like, you know, I don't care if I don't have a million listeners, but like, if I even just have like five people that really love listening to it and like, you know, are messaging me and being like, oh, I bought the book from your last episode, or, you know, whatever the thing is, like, that's the thing that really means a lot to me. So I just appreciate your support so much. You don't even know.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Really enjoy it.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for being on. And like I said, we definitely will stay in touch. You know, who knows, maybe one day you'll be in the Bahamas and we'll do a podcast episode while you're on the boat in the Bahamas or something, you know, fun adventure.
Oh, let's plan on it.
Location episode.
Yeah, there you go.
If you and your husband come to Florida, let us know.
All right. I definitely will. All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, so that was a great interview. I think, you know, it's so fun to just talk really casually about having adventures and doing fun things. And like I said, I am jealous of people that own boats, so I always want to hear about it for sure. I'm happy to hear stories of people going on boat adventures. So I want to thank them again for being on the episode. They're just very lovely people. Like I mentioned, very big supporters of the podcast. And for that, I am very grateful. It's always nice when, you know, people are like, hey, I really like the podcast. And, you know, and then like you talk to them and find out that they're also like cool people, you know, and not like weirdos. I mean, I don't think any of my listeners are really weirdos. At least I haven't met any of them yet, if there are any weirdos out there. But yeah, it was just nice. Like, I just feel like I could hang out with them and have a great time. So yeah, that was super fun. Thank you, Tim and Angela, for being on. I will post the information about their charity in the show notes too, and when I do social media posts, so people can find that if they want to go check it out. And yeah, I think that's about all for this week. If you would also like to support the podcast, you can go, I mean, if you want to support it just in the general supporting way, you know, which is listening, then that's awesome. Thank you so much. Please do that. If you're listening to this, then you obviously are. You can also go to an Apple Podcasts, do a rating there, leave a comment or do a star rating. That helps a lot. If you just want to like email me and be like, hey, I thought this was really cool, or, you know, I also have a boat, or, you know, whatever the thing is, my email address is blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com. You can message me on social media. I'm at blamebuffettpod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So yeah, feel free to reach out. That's an awesome way to support the podcast. I do have a monetary support button, and that's on Anchor. which you can go to my podcast page on Anchor, and it's just a button that says support, I think, and you click on it. It's kind of like Patreon. You just do like a monthly, can do a monthly sign up. And I think the cheapest one is like 99 cents a month. So yeah, if you feel like that's something you'd want to do, it's there. I certainly don't want anyone to feel like that's a necessary thing to do, but I obviously appreciate it. It just can help me do more cool stuff with the podcast. So thank you once again, everyone, for being here. If you aren't listening to this on Tiki Man Radio and you would like to, that is on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern is when it airs over there. And you can go to tikimanradio.com to see that, find out all the information. There's also an app you can download, Tiki Man Radio app, if you want to listen on there. So that's like a new fun way to listen to the podcast if you want to do that. So I encourage you to check that out. Once again, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern is when that's on the radio. Yeah, I think that's all for this week. And just remember, until next time, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero.